welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to episode 525 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. It's me, Melissa, and you know what? It is the ladies' takeover night. We've got Morgan. Hey, Morgan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Ladies' night. We're going to party.
No. Hey, okay. Morgan. And we got Lisa with us also.
Wow, that was intense. That was a lot to follow. How are we doing tonight, Melissa? Morgan, crazy lady, how are you?
Hey, I'm awake. That's all I can say, you know?
It meant some.
We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to talk about Morgan's trip, so you can't not be excited about that. And we have a lot of news coming out of Walt Disney World that we'll be sharing as well.
We do. I feel like we should just mainly talk about the big news, which is the disability, the DAS pass. The rules have changed.
Yeah, let's start with what were the rules before?
So, and we could literally spend a whole episode, but we're just going to kind of do the Cliff Notes version, or whatever the new name of Cliff Notes is nowadays. Used to be, if you had a disability, you went to guest services or you did a little video chat. Up to 2 days before your trip, told them I have a disability, I need accommodations of X, Y, and Z. If you qualify, you get the disability pass. Now, you have to have a developmental disability. Those are the key words, such as autism or things of the like. Now, this does not count for people with a physical disability. I do want to kind of put that out there. If you have a physical disability where you're in a wheelchair or whatever your physical disability is, don't worry about this. You are still good to go. Your developmental disability, if you qualify, you and a party of four, unless your immediate family is larger than four, can be on your disability pass. Now, notice I said immediate family. If you're traveling with grandma and grandpa do not count as immediate family. So if it's mom, dad, and three siblings, you're good to go. But if it's mom, dad, three siblings, and grandma and grandpa are not going to be on your disability pass.
I'd be super curious to find out how they identify who immediate family is. As a person that has children of a different last name than their parents.
I'm assuming it would be mailing address would probably be the closest. I mean, like that's been my experience with other things that I mean, they're looking at a mailing address. But to your point, Lisa, that could change if you are in a split household.
Right.
And your Correct. Kids have, you know, mail that goes in two places, or they're young enough and they don't have any mail coming to any place.
Right.
I would assume, based on personal experience getting disability passes, I do have a developmental disability. Because of HIPAA and all these other laws, they're going to kind of not ask that many questions. So if you say, hey, I'm taking my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, they'll take that, you know, my daughter, my son, you know, whatever. I don't see them, as of right now, saying, I need proof that these are biologically your family members. You know, I don't see them doing that.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. Now, one good thing I would say out of the disability pass before, I want to say it was good for like 30 or 60 days. Now it's good for like 90 days. So that's great for locals and people that visit frequently. Every single time you go on a trip, you don't have to reactivate a disability pass if you're within that window. And we could go on and on with the why are they changing it, this, that, and the other, and all we can go down that whole rabbit hole, but we won't. You know, we know evidently, if they're changing the rules, it's because something happened. Something's been abused or whatever you want to think. These are the rules. This is what we're sticking to because we all want to have fun at the parks.
Yeah, I think in the long run, you know, there's always a reason. And just want to make sure that everybody gets that experience that they are looking for at Walt Disney World.
Right.
And that it's a, you know, an equitable experience for all.
Right. And if you want all the rules, we do have it at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. They don't take effect, I want to say, until April or May. There were two different dates. One date for Walt Disney World, one date for Disneyland.
I think it's May 20th for Disney
World. I do think that sounds right. And then, like I said, Disneyland had a different date. One thing to keep in mind, anybody that still can qualify for a disability pass, if you're going to Walt Disney World, once this new rule comes into play, I highly, highly, highly recommend getting your video chat done before you go. The way they've worded it online is you're not going to be able to go to guest services and just say, hey, I need my disability pass. They're not going to have that option. I would assume there would be an alternative option, but I feel like it is probably going to be harder to get your disability pass. It might not be effective that day. So I'm saying it right here, right now, get in the habit of getting that video chat done before you go. That's my disclaimer.
That's a great call out. Yep.
So yeah, I feel like that's the huge news.
Yeah, other news that has come out of at least Walt Disney World, Frontierland has quite a few updates that we've heard. Tiana, some early testing might find in June. Maybe some rumors of media preview week being kind of that middle of June time period. The Beyond Big Thunder, Beyond Frontierland, the additional land that they're looking at expanding on. And the shooting arcade going away. So how are you guys feeling about that?
I am absolutely in the minority here. Please don't expand again. I understand we want to expand, but can we like build a second level or a third level? I just don't want the train shut down again.
I thought the same thing. Like, we just got the train back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just got the train back. Can we not do construction that is going to impact the train? Because it is, you know, that Grand Circle tour around Magic Kingdom is one of my favorite things to do. And I was pretty darn devastated when it was shut down for years.
I mean, the only perk in that was you could get some great photos of the train parked at Main Street. But
great. I can get great photos of the train parked at Main Street, too, as it's picking up and dropping people off.
True. That's what I'm saying. It's not a great point, but that's the only good point was you can get these great photos. But yeah, the whole point was the ride.
And at Frontierland Station and at Fantasyland Station, I can get it all over the park.
I'm agreeing with you. Don't shut down my train. No.
We just need some walls with go away green. Yeah. And just let it go through a pretend tunnel. I'm fine. Yeah. We can make this a tunnel.
Yeah. It's a temporary tunnel. It's a new feature of the ride, of the train. My whole thing with the quote-unquote expansion, because until I see the official press release from Disney, I don't want to speculate, but from the D23 Expo, the what ifs that could possibly go in there, I don't feel like they really cohesively fit in Frontierland.
From a theming perspective?
From a theming perspective. That is my concern. Besides the train. I'm with you with the train. But yeah.
This is my theory. You're in... oh my gosh, why can't I think? American area. Colonies.
Liberty Square.
Liberty Square. There we go. I know the word. Liberty Square.
I'm going to call it the America area from now on, though. That's exactly what I'm calling.
Which park am I in? Epcot or Magic Kingdom?
I'm going to make t-shirts.
I'm in Liberty Square, and I am marching across the U.S. Okay. So I've hit, you know, kind of the Meadows, and now I'm going to, because the Shooter Arcade is going away, it's going to be a DVC lounge. So I'm still kind of right. I've left New England and I'm going to hit Tiana. So now I'm in Louisiana. Okay. Then I keep going. Now I'm in like cowboy country, in the Great Plains, right? The beyond of Frontierland, if you think, connects eventually to Fantasyland. So beyond is, could we go out to California? Could we continue on to the Pacific? And oh, we have some characters that live in the Pacific that are very popular. Do we end up with Moana and some of that, which then very seamlessly will connect you right back into Fantasyland? And if that doesn't make a loop similar to Galaxy's Edge, where you have an in and out point back there, because otherwise you're going to end up in a dead end back there. And that's just never good for crowd flow.
It's crowd really flow. Bad for crowd flow.
It needs to flow right into the Rapunzel bathrooms.
Yes, everything should flow into the Rapunzel bathrooms. Let's be honest; those are the greatest bathrooms.
Or further back by Big Top, or by the train station back there.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. That news, to your point, Morgan, really dropped in the shareholder meeting where Iger says something along the lines of there are projects that we know and are aware of, and there are projects that we are unaware of. And right. I hope he's aware of them. And it's just that we don't know.
He was the collective we.
The collective we. Exclusive of him. Yeah. So that's really where this news sort of came out of. And I'm hopeful at D23 we get some more concept art.
I mean, we got till August to wait for those announcements and
lots of speculation between now and then.
Yeah, we get to play What If. We get to play Armchair Imagineer until then.
Ed, we have a new show idea.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Melissa, I like your idea. I want the Imagineers to listen to this episode now.
They have the rest of the country. They can just keep marching across. We need some things out, I don't know, out that direction.
Right outside your head. Yeah. One final thing we'll bring up for those that are annual pass holders. Just announced that the annual pass lounge will be opening up in Epcot. It was my understanding that I did not experience this last year when we opened it up. It was in Sunshine Seasons. Was that right, Morgan, last year?
Yes, if I remember correctly. And my friend Danielle, shout out to my friend Danielle, sent me photos, and I know I posted on our social. A section of Sunshine Seasons was blocked off for pass holders. They put a little things on the table. There was, I want to say, candy. Like, there was like little snackage of like candy or something. I think there was a magnet giveaway at that time. And of course, we heard a lot from pass holders of like, this is what you call a lounge. So I guess Disney heard that, and now it's going to be in Morocco in the restaurant Marrakesh. Which, if anybody's experienced that lounge, I know a lot of us did in November for Food and Wine. I am 1,000% okay with this being a pass holder lounge.
Yeah, I am too. So the announcement was relax and recharge in the pass holder lounge from May 1st to June 16th at Restaurant Marrakesh and Morocco Pavilion at Epcot. So unwind with complimentary snacks and water from noon to 8 p.m. every day, which is a great time. That is the heat of the day.
Yep, literally.
Or the pouring rain of the day.
Pouring. Yeah. Yep. The monsoon.
That's right. Plus, enjoy charging stations for your mobile devices. But that's not all pass holders get. Get your cameras ready for surprise visits from special Disney friends. So I'm super excited to see what that will entail throughout the course of the day. But that'll be really exciting.
And you know, oddly, I'm assuming you're looking on the app for the thing. I happen to have the website up, and it says till June 18th. So there is a conflict in days on two different sites.
It's till June 18th. I don't know what I said.
Oh, okay. Okay. Also, I also see pick up complimentary pass holder button, not magnet, button.
So, okay. That I don't have.
Yeah. And of course, complimentary snacks and water.
Yep.
And I know in November, And I am assuming because they went with the whole Moroccan theme, it wasn't just water. I think they had like cucumber water, but they also had, now granted, I feel like the lounge was not only sponsored by Orlando Health, but AHA Water must have been sponsoring it too, because you get those cans of the sparkling AHA water in November too. So hopefully, I would love it if they brought that back too, because that would be fabulous.
Yeah, they had the henna, and they had mint tea, some flavored water. Yep. They had the AHA waters. I thought they had some little snacks too, but I can't remember for sure. I mean, just the seating in there is so nice and comfortable.
It is very comfortable.
Little areas to have, you know, you can push a table together or you can sit, you know, just one or two people, but there's enough floor space to kind of spread out, let your kid kind of roll on the floor if they need to.
And you're not on top of another family that's sitting beside. There's plenty.
Right.
I am very happy about this new location for the Passholder Lounge.
Yeah.
Also, I want a t-shirt that says snackage.
Snackage.
That's the word you said, Morgan. Snackage.
Okay. I will now start the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Lots of t-shirts, lots of merch happening here. Lots of merch happening here, kids.
Please send your t-shirt request to Morgan at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And at some point before I die, I will get those designs made.
I'm here
for the snackage.
Do we have any more news announcements before we get into Morgan's trip?
There's a lot of conversations out. And I don't know, and I can't recall if there's been a concept art that's up or what, but Joe Rohde's back to help with the Dinoland remake into Indiana Jones and Encanto. And there will be animals. That was confirmed on the shareholder call, I believe is where it was. So in case you were worried that there weren't going to be animals.
At Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Which you brought up Joe Rohde. I did see fan pictures today on socials. Joe Rohde and other Imagineers were walking around Epcot today.
Oh.
So
that's exciting.
Don't know which park they were working on and talking about, but they were spotted in Epcot today.
Very nice. Someone made a connection of, because this area is the Central Americas that extends through Mexico to the northern part of the Amazon, you have a lot of IP, including Moana and Coco and Encanto and Indiana Jones, that fit very nicely in that area. And perhaps there was, you know, some conversations around the beautiful water feature in Epcot of Moana. I don't know.
Maybe.
We don't know what we're going to see over there, but I'm really excited for it. I've heard a lot of things about the number of attractions that will be in there, and bringing this park back to the capacity it was before is exciting.
It is exciting. And at least bringing that section of the park back to life, I would say. It hasn't been insanely popular. So it'll be exciting to see. I just hope during construction, they still leave that pathway open so that you can circle around.
Yes.
That would make me very, very happy.
Especially with Nemo.
Yes. 100%. I hate dead ends. I want to be able to keep traffic flow. Awesome. So let's shift gears. And Morgan just came back from lovely Central Florida. And let's talk a little bit about your impromptu but celebratory trip to Walt Disney World.
Yeah. And just back so much that I still have not 100% unpacked.
That's okay. I used to never unpack until I was ready to pack for my next trip.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should stick with that idea. But I did pull out the dirty clothes. So at least those got washed. I won't be smelling. I went down for just over a week.
And now do we want to talk about the dark area? You went to everywhere that the light touches, except for that, what's that dark shady place? You went over there for a couple days.
Talking about that last weekend before I went to the magical place?
Yes.
We can talk about it briefly. I'll talk about it a little bit more on my own site. Because I did a separate site, so I can talk about that park and the other park. It's called, which by the way, site's called Dream Finding Through the Parks. But anyway, so I did go to the other park, the home of the wizards.
Hold it against you, Morgan. It's okay. We've all done it.
I will say, the one thing I will say is one of the reasons why I went over there was to check out Mardi Gras, which if you guys don't know, in the spring, they do Mardi Gras over there. It was
great concerts at Mardi Gras.
Yes. I went during the last week, so there were no concerts.
Mm.
I will have to say, though, and Lisa, I don't know if you experienced in the food booth since you were doing Mardi Gras. I had to wait 10 to 20 minutes for food. And this is like, think of going to Food and Wine, going to any of the booths, ordering your food, and waiting 20 minutes for it.
Yeah, that would be a hard pass for me. Not that big of a secret. I am a Disney nerd through and through. I actually have not been to Universal since 2016.
Gotcha. Well, I went, like I said, I went for my site. Also, as a travel planner, it's good to know about the other place. But yeah, that's why I went. I went to experience Mardi Gras. I would 100% do any festival at Epcot over Mardi Gras if I'm hungry.
It's a downside.
You've gotten on a ride and then come back.
I hear that the parade's really, really good.
Oh. The entertainment is awesome.
Out of this world. Yeah.
Yes. There are people walking around like New Orleans jazz band, which I'm sure Jimmy would probably have some smart comment about how they're not really jazz or something. The food was great when I finally got it. But like I said, had to wait too long. I kept saying this would not happen at Epcot. This would not happen at Epcot. I do find myself,
like when I was there years and years and decades ago, I did find myself just constantly, it was a constant comparison.
Yeah. There was a New Orleans booth because, well, actually there was two. One was desserts. Of course, they had beignets there because it was Mardi Gras. Put it this way. I went with my mom. I said to my mom, I'm not waiting in that line after we'd only waited an 8 out of 10. Or no, 4 out of 10 booths. So I'm not waiting in that line. If I really want beignets, I'm going to Port Orleans and getting Mickey-shaped ones because I won't have to wait as long. So
fair.
But that's all to say about that other park. So I put that in the beginning and spent the rest of my time at the magical place.
All right. So let's start with where did you stay?
I stayed off property. I went down Easter weekend. I was there the week after Easter. It is a very, very busy time. If you have a sorcerer annual pass or under, you're blacked out that week. I did not think of that ahead of time and actually upgraded my pass to sorcerer because I did a oopsie and was like, I just planned this trip and I'm blacked out. No, I'm going to pay the extra money. Upgrade so I can go in the parks because this was an impromptu trip I could only do that week. So yeah. I stayed off property. Mom and dad owned timeshare. It was cheaper. But we were on 192. It was a really quick trip. Didn't take long to get to the property. Did get to see the Easter eggs. Because we arrived on Easter at Walt Disney World. I will not do that again. The line at Grand Floridian to just look at the Easter eggs. If you guys have never seen the Easter egg display, I highly recommend it. If you're going to be there in the spring, just don't go on Easter. Beautiful displays. They get better and better every year and more resorts are getting them. Me and mom arrived. Well, we had lunch at Kona. Fabulous lunch,
great,
as always.
Great choice. Great choice.
And again, fabulous, because I've never had a bad meal. Amazing service. Took the monorail over to Grand Floridian. Oh, my God. You would have thought the Figment popcorn bucket got released again.
Could you even get off the monorail, or was the line blocked to the door?
No, you could, but there's this long line. And I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago, they basically put a little building that's has to be the framework of the gingerbread house for Christmas, and they sell Easter related treats out of. I honestly thought, oh, this must be the line for people to get treats. Like they're waiting in line for snacks. No, these people were waiting in line just to see the eggs.
And so describe the eggs. I've never seen them in person, actually. Are they a confection? Oh,
they are all edible.
Oh, they're made
of chocolate. The culinary team of Walt Disney World, I feel like this is almost like their Super Bowl. This is where they show off their skills and their artistry better than any gingerbread display.
And their names are attached to them.
Yes. They even had little cards in front this year, which was really cool. There are always some new ones. There's some old favorites that they remake every year. Like I said, I remember years ago, it used to just be like one little lobby desk. And now it's almost like the whole lobby's taken over with these eggs. And the Contemporary Resort now has them. And this year they started the Yacht and Beach Club having them. Or no, yep. Last year.
I saw them at the Yacht and Beach Club this year. We went and got dinner at Cape May so that I could go see them at the Yacht and Beach Club.
I miss them at Yacht and Beach Club. Now, funny fact, I don't think word really got out about the other resorts, because after we saw the eggs at the Grand Floridian, we topped the monorail, went over to Contemporary. There was like nobody was there. So, I mean,
they were all in line at the Grand Floridian.
I know. It's like they did not read that memo. So, yeah.
Nobody in front of. I think we went out to dinner maybe the Friday before. I'm trying to think. Probably the Friday night before Easter. Angela and I went out to dinner at Cape May and went over and saw them. And it wasn't anything.
Like, I don't think people realize that the other resorts have them. Because like I said, I want to say this is the second year for Yacht and Beach, and at least the second year for Contemporary having them as well. Now, the displays are a little bit smaller than the Grand Floridian. But if you like the Grand Floridian displays, it is 100% worth it to check out the other resorts as well. Because the same amount of skills and the same amount of artistry. And Melissa, your question earlier, the sizes, they vary really.
The Groot one was huge. It was super tall.
Was that at Yacht and Beach?
It was, yeah. It was, and it was him holding the cassette.
Oh, like the topiary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool. Yeah. We meant to go see it Monday, and we just didn't make it over there. I saw some that looked like maybe like an ostrich egg size to ones that it had to take more than one person to carry in. Some of them were lit. Like one that's been a popular one the last couple of years is they've got one themed for the Main Street Electrical Parade, and it's lit and it blinks and it's really cute. One that a lot of people kept like hanging out and watching was there's this beautiful Beauty and the Beast one that rotates. And I know I posted that on our socials. It's just like, I mean, if I'm ever there during that time of year, it's a must see. And I want to say it came out like maybe end of February. So it's not like it's only there for a week. It's there for at least a month, I want to say. That's how we started the trip, was checking out the Easter eggs, and that's how we celebrated Easter. We did Epcot on Monday. Met up with, again, my friend Danielle. We ate a bunch of stuff. We walked around.
Now, you haven't been since, when was the last time you were here? November?
November.
All right. So you were able to check out the topiaries. Any new topiaries that jumped out at you?
Yes. So the Groot one that we just talked about is new. which is really cool. Also, the main one at the front is Wish, the new movie that's now on Disney Plus. I have to say, it looks really cool at night. If you've seen the movie Wish, and when Star first comes out and he grabs that yarn and he's running all over the forest with it, the yarn's in the entrance and it's lit at night. It really looks beautiful and cute. So that's the main showpiece, I guess. I always say the one in the front is the showpiece for the Flower and Garden. And then before you get into Mexico, they have Miguel and Dante from Coco. But what's really cool about it is at night, they projection map on Dante. So he looks like the, I'm probably going to mispronounce. Alabrije. Yes, Alabrije, like he turns into at the end of the movie. It is so cute. So
it's really neat. Awesome. I hope they continue to do more of that projection mapping on some of them, especially to make it different between night and day. It's kind of that
makes it. Yeah. It's not just a one-stop shop.
Yeah. Like I saw most of the topiaries during the day, and then on Thursday night, me and mom did the Epcot after hours. So we got to also see them at night, and it's almost like they're two different topiaries. So if you think, oh, I only have to see them during the day, no, go see them at night too. They're well lit. You won't miss anything. And especially now what they're doing with Dante with the projection mapping, like it's a different topiary at night. It's really cool.
What about food at Flower and Garden? Anything new or exciting?
Trying to remember what I ate. I wish I was Sam and I had my passport beside me. That's something I didn't unpack yet. Trying to think. I had, it's like the beef in Canada that they have every year. Like that's kind of been one of my go-tos for Flower and Garden. So I made sure I had that. I stuck with a lot of classics that I've had before. In France, and my mom actually ordered this. It was, I think they labeled it as a beignet, but it was a donut. I'll agree with Jimmy at this point. It was a donut, but it had a filling inside, and they kind of like creme brulee the top because they like made the sugar on top kind of crispy. Oh my gosh. I had one of those like Homer Simpson moments when I bit into it and I'm like, and I wasn't going to eat it. I was like, no, I'm good. Mom said, take a bite. I'm like, you're done with this, right? Like I get to finish. Right.
Cause the bite means the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. I also had, their sparkling raspberry drink was like sparkling wine with a little raspberry. And I'm not a big wine person, but that was delicious and refreshing because it was a tad warm on Monday. By the way, the weather was awesome last week. Perfect weather.
I think you had rain one day that maybe.
Yeah, it was Wednesday that I was there. And that was my relaxed day anyway. So I didn't lose any park time. Which, by the way, got to have a relaxed day.
I saw you had a new drink in China. Your tried and true favorite maybe wasn't there.
Okay. Everybody put your lighters in the air. The cantaloupe is gone from Joy of
Tea. Is it officially gone?
It is officially gone. I made a point to go.
It's insanely popular. Why would that be gone?
Now I asked them, I was like, I asked the cast member behind the counter, I was like, do you know when they took the cantaloupe off? And they said it was the beginning of the year.
Wow.
So I had as a cheers to the death of cantaloupe, I had a thing called Dragon Butterfly was their replacement. It had little boba balls in it. Which I guess that's why they did it, because all the kids are doing the boba balls nowadays and they're doing their tea.
Super
popping popular. Boba or the gummy boba?
Popping.
Okay, good.
I want to look up. It was actually really good. Was it as good as my Cantaloupe? No. Because Cantaloupe was simple and refreshing. This had a bunch of stuff in it. Was still great. Like some now. Gotta look for it. Because I know our friend Rebecca asked me what it... I had another friend ask me for it.
While you're looking that up, I can tell you we did this. We did Flower and Garden a couple weeks ago with Isabel. And one of the challenges with Isabel is that she has food allergies. So, you know, if we're looking for something for her to have, it's usually has to be vegan. She's got an egg and dairy allergy. So vegan is always the safest way to go. And they had a booth 100% dedicated to vegan items, which I thought was super cool.
That was a plant one, right?
The plant. Yeah, it was one. Called Garden Graze. Yep.
Yep.
What was really cool about Garden Graze was that, you know, they have the placard out front, which kind of shows you what's on the menu and maybe some information about the booth. But it also showed you where other vegan items were and at what booths, which I thought was awesome, because it sometimes is a challenge to kind of sift through. And if you're not going the same direction as the guide is bringing you, sometimes you get yourself upside down. So to have a booth there that not only says, hey, there's a, you know, coconut tres leches cake that you can have, but, and it's not here, but it's actually between, you know, France and Morocco, and you can have the potato pancakes and, you know, the avocado toast over by Test Track. Like, it tells you what it is and where it is so that you can go, okay, let me snap a picture of this and I'm going to hit this all the way around and not have to worry about any dietary issues.
Speaking of that, like in the passport, there was a QR code that also had the list of all the allergies, because my friend Danielle has a gluten allergy. If I don't have my lactate pills, I have to worry about my dairy allergy. But I thought that was interesting that there was a QR code and you pull it up on your phone as well this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's super nice. Because I was just going to say, you know, I love having the passport. It's this nice takeaway, this nice tactile thing that I have. But when I'm looking for something specific, either by location, this is where I am in the park right now, or by allergy, or by, you know, food interest, to, oh, where did I see that, in sifting through, versus having it on my phone and be able to have a filter that's just like, I want something that's, you know, vegan. I want something that's gluten-free. I want something that's over in Canada. What are my choices? Yep. And it just show it to me. And you can swap that stuff in and out a little bit easier from an IT perspective than having to print new ones because something all of a sudden isn't going to be available anymore. Right. I'm glad they're offering that.
And I feel like that's going to be the future. I feel like the passports are going to go away. Just because, you know, they are. I feel like that's just the future that we're looking at. There's not going to be paper maps. There's not going to be passports. There's not going to be things like that. It's all going to be on your phone. So, yeah, I mean, that was a really cool feature. I did find the drink in China. Dragon Butterfly was the name. It is butterfly pea flower gin, vodka, green tea, lemonade, soda water, hibiscus, and dragon fruit syrups with blueberry popping boba.
That is a lot going on.
That is a lot going on.
It's very busy. That's very, very busy.
Yeah. They basically got me with the vodka and the green tea, oddly. That was my draws. And like I said, it wasn't bad. It was no Cantaloupe. But yeah. So I had that. Like I said, I had the sparkling raspberry drink in at the France booth. After a while, I just got full. But Thursday at the Confections Cafe, I did have, they had a hot honey chicken sandwich for Flower and Garden made with honey from the land. If you like Nashville hot chicken or just like spicy foods, I recommend it. It was delicious.
I love the hot honey movement right now. It's a trend. It's cool. It's all the kids are doing it.
Yep.
I bought my like half a gallon of it at Costco because I like it so much. And so the fact that places have this, I'm on board.
Angela and the kids love it. And it's all that the people in my house eat right now. And yes, I have one too.
Well, I don't know as far as the dairy on it, but you definitely need to take Angela and the kids to go check it out over at Confections, because it was so good. I also had at Confections, they had a orange bird. What is it called? Whatever the new fancy waffle is that's floating around Epcot. Oh,
Lisa?
Yeah, that means it's an L.
It's a Norwegian, and it's like L-I-E-F something, yeah. Something. It's not Lefse. It's not that, but it's like something else. You can get them at the grocery store also. They're very popular. It's a thicker waffle, and they have sort of unfinished edges.
Yeah. Yeah, the orange bird one, which I'll post a picture on our socials. It was prepackaged, which at first I was like, oh man, this is going to be dry. It's not going to be good. It's prepackaged. Who knows how long it's been in that piece of plastic. Still good. They had like orange sugary crystals around the edge. So you got an orange, like a light orange flavor with the waffle. There was like a white chocolate piece in the middle with an orange bird printed on it. And it was delicious. Yeah, I would totally get that again for Flower and Garden. It was not something over the top. It was something very simple, which I liked. So yeah, those were two non-booth Flower and Garden food exclusives that I would highly recommend.
Before leaving Epcot, did you get to say your farewells to Test Track?
I walked by. When I travel with my mom, because she's in an ECV, I don't do as many attractions that she cannot do. Obviously, Test Track is one she cannot do. I walked by. I did a little salute. You know, a little one finger in the air. And, you know.
Flash some deuces and called it a day.
Peace out, homie. See you on the flip side. So, yeah, I waved goodbye to Test Track. But I did not ride it.
No, because really, you want to get trapped or stuck or.
Right. I think, yeah. Hopefully this redo for the, what we're on version 4.
12. Is, I mean, I don't know.
More inclusive.
I still want, and I think you guys might be on the same boat with me. I still miss the original version. We were like Test Track dummies and the let's test the brakes and the hot and cold room. Mm-hmm. You know.
Did you turn those machines off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still miss that. And I think I have a video from when I did the college program in 2010 on my YouTube page somewhere where I had, who knows the quality of that video from that technology, but I know I have it somewhere on my YouTube page of that with me POV of that ride. And they need to bring those elements back. It's the only time I want to be a crash test dummy. So, yeah.
So what other parks did you make it to Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom?
We actually did not do Hollywood Studios at all this trip, oddly. Which I wish I did. We just ran out of time. The next day after Monday, Tuesday went to Magic Kingdom. And me and Mom did Keys of the Kingdom.
Awesome.
Was this your first time?
First time doing Keys.
I've done it twice, and I'll absolutely do it. I could do it 10 more times.
Oh, it was so good. Funny enough, and of course I didn't know it until I posted the picture, our cast member tour guide,
Megan.
His name Megan. Shout out to her. Jimmy knows her, mm-hmm. as well as our friend Panda. I think our friends David and Kim from Now That's Disney. Like, everybody knows her, and I didn't know her. And I'm like, why didn't I know that she was friends with all my friends? She did an amazing job. I would totally, totally have her as my tour guide a million times over. Unfortunately, Haunted Mansion was down. That was the...
No!
Oh, no.
But I did Marceline to Magic Kingdom tour before, so I have gone behind the scenes of Haunted Mansion before. So personally, I didn't really miss out on anything.
Did you do Jungle Cruise?
We did Jungle Cruise.
Okay.
Which, you know, we had a great skipper. He got to throw out a couple of jokes before Megan took over. And then, of course, we got to see not only the backside of the waterfall, but the backside of Jungle Cruise, which was fun. Mm-hmm. We did get to wave at the train when we went backstage.
Nice.
It was really cool to, I mean, doing the college program, I have seen some backstage stuff. But it was cool to see some of those places again, some places that I've never been to. My inner high school band nerd liked the part where we saw where all the marching bands start before they walk.
Where it steps off. Yep.
I mean, like my, like I said, my little, I mean, I was in high school marching band for a year. Mm-hmm. So like my band nerd was like, oh, those guys get to do that.
So if you get lucky enough, so the first time I ever did keys was on our honeymoon in October. And when we went backstage over by the parade route and you went over the train tracks and down where they keep the parade floats.
Mm-hmm.
They were practicing for the Christmas parade.
There was no practicing.
Well, you don't have any practicing that needs to be practiced.
No.
So true. When we went in October, they were practicing for the Christmas parade using a vehicle that was just wild. The tour guy was like, this is like a one-of-a-kind experience right now, you guys.
Awesome.
That's so cool.
It was literally like a vehicle with speakers all around it, and it was blaring the music so that they were used to the, you know, the music, and they were trying to get their timing down for all their stuff. But it was so cool.
We did get to see some of the floats. We obviously didn't go into the warehouse. We saw specifically, you know, Easter weekend they do have an Easter end. Or no, beginning for the parade. So we did get to see the float that Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny were in, because they hadn't de-Easter-fied it yet. So that was really cool to see. It was kind of funny. I was talking about it to my mom before Megan, our tour guide, said it, but the electrical water pageant, all the barges were there. And I'm like, Mom, that's the electrical water. And of course Megan says it and I'm like, see I told you.
If you look to your right or left on the monorail, you can see those sitting there too as you go over that little waterway.
That just takes away from the magic though.
In between, all I do now is look at stuff that takes away
from
magic. I am a how things work type of kid.
I've seen that before though.
Yeah, that you can see they're visible from the mainland, if you will.
Yeah. I thought it was cool that, and I guess I didn't think about it, but they were saying that there is a lift for every float for Festival of Fantasy, like to get Ariel up on top in her shell and all these other cast members that have to get up to a higher part. There is like a little forklift or doll, whatever piece of equipment for every single float. So there's not like, okay, this float goes and that float and whichever floats in the back.
Apple pickers.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I thought, oh, I didn't think about that, but that makes sense. So that was really cool. We had lunch at Columbia Harbor House upstairs. Since my mom has an ECV, Megan joked that we got extra backstage pass because we got to see the kitchens a little bit because we had to take the elevator to the second floor. So that I thought was kind of funny. So we had that, didn't realize it came with a cupcake. You know, I was not notified of that. So that was a nice surprise for me.
What did you guys have for lunch? Was it the Columbia Harbor House menu?
Yep. I had a lobster roll.
I had a
mixed
menu. So that's interesting.
Now, I mean, they had the lobster roll on it. So like, I was like, okay, it must be Columbia Harbor House. Cause that's what I got. My mom, not being a seafood person, went with chicken fingers. Like I said, they gave us these Mad Hatter themed cupcakes, which we didn't eat at the time, and ate melted ones later in the day because they stayed in mom's ECV cart for the rest of the tour. that was really cool. Like I said, Haunted Mansion was down. So once we were done in Liberty Square, and it was time for the Utilidors, we got extra Utilidor time, which was awesome. That is something I did see in the college program. It was nice to see they repainted. I remember
what was your access point to the Utilidors with mom?
We went in the same way we went in near in Fantasyland.
You went into the PhilharMagic access.
No, we went past that to I always say this, like where you get the ice cream in Fantasyland.
Oh yeah, like the treats place.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the way we went in.
Friar Tux?
Yes, yeah. Friar Tux. Everybody went down the stairs. We went down the elevator into Utilidors. I think by that point I told Megan that I did the college work before, so she knew I was a former cast member. So she was like telling me directions, like go in the elevator, step out, go right, don't go in. And there's like three other people with me, my mom and two other people, but she was telling me the directions, kind of like, I know you were a cast member and you're not going to let them wander and make me lose my job, so this is where you're going. So that was kind of cool. Like I said, we got extra Utilidor time. We got to go through the costuming room. Like, oh, just
awesome.
Walk through it and walk right out, because obviously these people are super busy fixing costumes and making costumes. And it was just kind of cool to like look around like, okay, you're working on so-and-so's hat, and okay, you're working on that dress. Like, that was kind of cool. Like I said, they repainted. When I did the college program, it was like all gray walls. It was very hard to navigate the Utilidors. It's now color coordinated. So, cast members, you guys have it a little bit easier now. I'm so happy for you guys. Because, yeah.
I think it was like each land has a different color, right? Like, yes. Fantasyland is like a pink or purple color, and yeah, then like Frontierland's like red or something like that. So you kind of know where you are, because right, there's no windows, there's no light.
No, you are actually underground. Like, it is the first floor of Magic Kingdom, but you actually are underground. It used to be all gray walls, and you didn't know where you were until you walked upstairs in the stairwell, and you're like, "Oh, I'm in Fantasyland. I need to be to Tomorrowland. Let me go back downstairs." So that was kind of cool. There was an end part where I kind of want to call it the Walt wall, where they had all these great photos of Walt and Roy. And you know, being the Disney nerd, you couldn't help get a little, you know, choked up,
cried every time, cried both times when I did that,
you know, take the sleeve of the arm, you know, dab mm-hmm. the little tear, you know,
somebody was cutting onions. I have no idea what was going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. I kind of joke, like, you know, with the Rock from Jumanji, where he's like, "Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry."
Yeah.
You're kind of doing that. Like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And of course, we went down. We ended down that sidewalkway down Main Street that they take you when it's overcrowded and they're trying not to, or when you walk up during the Halloween party or one of those. So yeah, it was kind of cool. I also liked that Megan also made sure there were not young ears around. Don't want to ruin the magic. Thought that was great. So yeah, and it was a 5-hour walking tour. I've never been so jealous of my mom's ECV. And of course you get up early for that. So we did leave. I needed to just sit down for a while. So we left and took a break. Like I said, Wednesday was our rest day, which was good because it was raining. Thursday, we had lunch off property with family and then did Epcot for after hours, which.
Yeah, I want to dabble a little bit into this. First of all, what made you do it?
Because I knew how crowded it would be that week. I thought this was going to be an awesome opportunity to have lower crowds to wander around Epcot. We really had our choice. Wednesday was a Magic Kingdom after hours. Thursday was Epcot. So it really was a, and I think actually another night was Hollywood. So we kind of, which one do we want to do? So we chose Epcot. I treated myself and bought myself a new camera for the trip. So I was like, well, yeah, taking nighttime photos around Epcot for Flower and Garden. Let me take the opportunity during after hours. The unlimited Mickey bars and popcorn and bottled drinks were awesome. So yeah, it honestly was the lower crowd was the big draw.
Do you know if there were tickets still available on the night of the event, or was it sold out?
That night was sold out. I ended up looking like an hour before, just like any other like after hours party, like Halloween or Christmas. You got in at 7, but like party didn't start till 9 or 10. I think I looked around 6 for our friend Barbara, because I hadn't seen her yet that week, and it was sold out. Which makes sense because, like I said, it was a busy, busy week. If you checked touring plans, which I did, I think Monday through Thursday, Walt Disney World was at a 9 pretty much all week. So I understand why they did was sold out. It didn't feel like it was sold out, so I don't know the numbers, but hey, I'll go if it's sold out. We got to see all the topiaries. We went on the Three Caballeros ride. We went on Remy. Remy is my mom's new favorite ride. one thing I thought was kind of weird, and I've done some Epcot after hours parties before. They blocked off World Showcase. You could not go past Norway. If you wanted to go to France, you had to walk all the way back and around, and you couldn't go past France because the park was closed, quote unquote. I thought that was odd.
You don't want to deal with drunk people.
But here's the funny thing, though. Food booths for Flower and Garden are closed during the after hours party. Not every single restaurant's open. Like Confections was open. And I want to say a couple others. So even if you walked around World Showcase, you couldn't have like gone to Germany and gotten a beer. It was closed. So I thought that was a little odd.
I wonder if they were doing work up there.
Yeah, I have no idea. But yeah, there was a cast member. And at first I thought it was like, oh, the cast member is going to check wristbands. I thought it was one of those kind of things. So they're like, no, you can't. Nobody can go past this point.
I'm sure it's a matter of, like you said, either work being done or just the pure maintenance and the cleaning to get through that park. There's a lot of nooks and crannies and places and things to go. So if you don't, and you don't need people to go there, it's less of a security and liability risk. Just keep them out of there. I mean, even in the morning before the Frozen and Remy thing, they'd keep you just one location or the other to try to, you know, mitigate how many people can kind of get back in there. But it does feel chintzy or odd. Like, you know, like I'm in this park. Yeah, like it's so beautiful extra at night.
I should be able to see the topiaries at the very least. That, you know.
Yeah, right. Or the beautiful lighting in the buildings and stuff like that at a minimum. Get pictures back there.
Mm-hmm. And that 100% was the only reason why. I wasn't wanting to walk back to America or to Japan or any of those countries thinking I could go eat or shop or anything like that. I wanted to see them at night in low crowds. I wanted to see the topiaries at night and take photos. So that was a little disappointing. I feel like if it would have been on the website and told you ahead of time, maybe that would have been a little bit better. But I didn't see that on the website. But yeah,
The assumption there is that if you're not able to go past France, not able to go past Norway, that it's the top level attractions are what has made you pay. That, you know, if they had shut down all of World Showcase and you couldn't ride, you know, Frozen and you couldn't ride Ratatouille, there would be a lot of grumpiness. But I think that's probably a piece of it is nobody's going to care what's, you know, I call it north of, which it's actually directionally really south of France and Norway.
But yeah, I mean, it didn't ruin the party for me in any way, shape or form. Another thing that was kind of fun, pin trading was not officially back yet. Cast member pin trading, where you can actually trade with the actual cast members, so the board on the desk or the counter or whatever. And they actually had a couple of trash bins that were pin trading, which was kind of fun. I had some pins to trade. I was like, hey, pin trading's back with actual cast members is how I like pin trading. So I got a couple of cute trades. Even traded for an Eeyore pin for my mom. She loves Eeyore. So that was kind of fun. And it was, of course, really fun to see kids doing it again. I feel like it's more fun almost for me, and I think that's because I was a cast member doing pin trading, to watch kids get into pin trading. Now, I pin trade because I'm going for pins that I personally think are cool. I don't care if it's limited edition or whatever. Seeing kids get excited, and they are like, the trash can had three different sides and three different bulletin boards, and there was a couple little kids, like, and of course it's at night, so either mom and dad had their cell phone flashlight to help the kid look, and you would think this was the biggest trade that this kid was gonna make in their entire life, but it was just fun to watch and see that magic. So yeah, I did some pin trading as well. So yeah.
So overall, is this and you may have said this, was this your first after hours event at a park that you've done?
No.
Okay.
This was probably the first one, unless you count like Halloween or a Christmas party, where like snackage was included. I am now
I wouldn't count a party. Just an after hours event is just that. It's, you know, it's a price you pay for low attendance. You can get attractions and they give you that extra privilege of, you know, the bars and snacks and popcorn and soda and bottled water, etc.
Yeah, no, this was the first of that style. I've done older after hours parties. I think I've mentioned my favorite one before was also in Epcot, but you picked a country and you would go to a specific bar. Like I did one where I went to Mexico and I did tequila tasting at La Cava. Favorite after hours ever, because I learned about tequila. I thought that was awesome. I would actually recommend an after hours party to anybody that wants to ride the rides or just experience a park at night, with less crowds.
Melissa, have you ever done an after hours party?
No.
Or after hours event. Yep.
Just the parties. And that's how I felt that the Christmas one at Hollywood Studios was it was a little bit more of an after hours event. And I said the same thing as Morgan, that they're worth it. If you take Christmas away at the Hollywood Studios one, right, it was still worth it to be able to rest during the day and go out at night when it's cooler and get your rides in. And maybe I get something cool like Mickey bars, or, you know, in the case of that, they had some interesting food booths or a drink or something. It's worth the money. You know,
What's funny though, is I did Jollywood Nights with you, Melissa, in November. It felt less crowded at Epcot after hours last week. Than it did at Jollywood Nights. Now, I don't know if that's because Jollywood Nights, being in Hollywood is a kind of smaller park, or at least it feels smaller. But
I only felt it was busy there at the food kiosk, and it was just because it was media day. You had everybody like confused where they were supposed to be and absorbed with their phones. Yeah. Like
I thought it was influencer day.
Yeah, influencer day. So if it was less than that, oh my gosh, I'd feel like the park was empty.
Oh, I honestly did feel like the park was empty. I did not have to, and I still have to, you know, edit my photos and be my little photog self. But when I had my camera out taking pictures of topiaries and like a France with all the fountains, I wasn't waiting for like crowds to part so I got a clear shot. I had clear shots without people. So it just the feeling of feeling like the park was empty, worth every penny to me.
So it, experience wise, I've done parties, but I don't think I've ever done an after hours party in a park.
Well, you did villains after hours.
I did villains after hours. Yes. But last year we did the last one of the year, and I actually just looked it up because I will do one, if not more, this summer. We did H2O Glow Nights last year, mm-hmm. which is after hours at Typhoon, and same perks, you know, yeah. it's less crowds, DJ blasting out, you know, some of your favorite songs over by the wave pool.
They had a DJ at Epcot too.
Yeah. And you know, beverages and you know, popcorn and fruit bars and Mickey bars, and then access to the attractions. And we loved it.
Yeah.
Like we absolutely loved it. And we did the last one of the year, and I was like, oh, I really wish I had done this.
Yeah. So, why didn't I know about this sooner kind of thing?
I knew about it. We just didn't act on it. And I was just looking the other day. I'm like, oh, maybe we could do this one and this one and this one. Like I'm literally trying to pick out.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, they are an extra price. I have water parks included anyways. But actually the price for a water park after hours is not too far off from a day at the water park.
Yeah.
And it's just such a different experience.
I'm going back in July because we do have the meetup July 20th. I'm going to be there during the week, but I'm actually going to be at a conference. So only my nights are free. And I totally thought like, maybe I'll finally do the H2O party.
It's so good. It's so much fun.
Plus it's July. There's no other time that I want to be in a water so much in Florida as July. I mean, let's be real. Come on now. I don't care if it's midnight. You still want to be in a cool place. Water, air, AC, whatever. Humidity kills you. But yeah. So yeah, I did that. So that was Thursday. Thursday or Friday, we did Animal Kingdom for a little bit. Actually, no, Thursday before at Epcot, we did Animal Kingdom. We met up with David and Kim from Now That's Disney, hung out with them for a little bit, and Aaron, who's also on their show and is a cast member, he does the bird show. We walked around the Tiger Trek, which I haven't walked around that trail in quite a while. My mom does not remember ever doing it, so that was fun for her. So, of course, we got to see some tigers.
That's Maharaja, right? That's
yes. The tiger, yep.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
It's my favorite one too.
We went in the bat room, and took us a while to see the bats. We actually had to stick like half of our bodies out of like the windows and look up to see half a bat.
They're huge.
Yes. Oh my god. Like this is what those were like. What Halloween horror movies were made about? Somebody saw those bats in the wild back in the day. And said, I am making horror monsters. Like, Dracula is going to turn into this kind of bat. You know, like, but they were
like cool. A small child.
Yes. So that was really cool to see. And, of course, like, the aviary part. And I don't know if it's a peacock or what kind of bird it is. But it's this huge bird. And I've got a photo somewhere. And it kept calling. And, like, at the end part of, like, that part, it was just chilling on one of the benches with a cast member by it. And I heard the call the entire time. And I swear that has to be the bird's cat call. That's not like a normal call. It was like,
woo-hoo. Oh, that's fantastic.
And I'm just like imagining it being like, how you doing?
Like, you want me to come home with you?
Like that's just how I perceived it. And that's the story I'm sticking with because it's more entertaining in my head. But yeah, we did that. We did some Disney Springs time Friday. I did stop by Splitsville, got my Splitsville sipper full of my alcoholic beverage as I wandered around Springs. Met with my cousins at Paradiso 37, which oddly enough, I had never eaten at before.
I've never eaten there.
Totally go check it out.
Okay.
They actually sat us in the back, which is right on the water. They actually do have garage doors on it. So if it's a nice day, I'm assuming they lift those up. But we had this beautiful water view. Like I said, me, my mom, my cousin, and his new wife, that they just got married in November when we were there. So had some family time. Lovely meal. I had an Argentine skirt steak. And I had wasabi fries.
Mm.
I didn't know those existed. They are now my favorite.
I didn't know I needed these in my life.
Yes, exactly. And like, I see them on the menu and I look, go to the waiter. I'm like, wasabi fries. How wasabi are we talking here? Because I like spicy, but wasabi is like another level spicy. These were like lightly wasabied. Like you still enjoyed the fry, but you got enough of that wasabi where your mouth's not on fire. You got more the flavor of wasabi. Highly recommend that to anybody.
Is the menu like kind of international, lots of different flavors from different places?
I would say very Latin American.
Central American.
Yes.
Well, like, I heard the Argentinian steak, but then the wasabi. I mean, I was like, okay, now we're
Yeah, Japanese, it's like an odd combination. My mom had ribs, had very nice honey barbecue sauce on it. Came with tostones, which my little background on me, I was babysat by a Puerto Rican woman when I was little. So once I saw those tostones, I didn't even ask my mom. I took them off her plate. I love tostones more than potato chips. And especially when they're made right and they made them right. So I was a very happy camper to steal them off my mother's plate. My cousin had the same Argentinian skirt steak. His wife had a burger, which she said was great. So, I mean, there's something for everybody at that restaurant. Highly recommend it. There was a lot of availability, especially being a Friday night. So, yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out. And I feel bad I didn't go to it sooner.
I hardly ever go to Springs, and we need to go to Springs because we have things that we've got to go check out to two different places there in the near future. But as a local, I tend to steer clear of Springs because it gets stupid busy, and you can take that however you choose. It either gets busy and it's stupid, or people are stupid and it's busy. Yeah. So we usually steer clear of it, but it's not a place I've been to, but I'll have to put it on the list.
I do have to say, being that last week was a super busy week, it was me and my mom. There was a lot of shopping done last week. We hit the outlets. We hit Springs multiple times. We went to Springs Tuesday and Friday. Completely different crowds. So as a local, obviously depending on your schedule and everything like that, I would still stay steer clear on the weekends.
Mm.
But yes, there were crowds during the week, but not nearly as bad as Friday night when I was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was my week in the nutshell. Parks, food, lots of shopping.
That sounds like a great trip to me.
Yep, it does to me too.
Which, by the way, I spent 2 hours in the outlet on Vineland just in the Disney store. That was my level of commitment for looking for a deal.
That's always hit or miss for me. I go and it's 2 minutes and there's nothing. And then you go another time and it's amazing. And you're trying to, okay, what's this and this and this?
Yeah.
Right. You're trying to decide because you don't want to buy the whole store.
I think I hit both outlet malls, being that I started the week up at Universal. I went to the Outlet Mall International Drive. That is the smaller Disney store. Got a couple of things. The big ticket item for that trip, if you're a fan of Willow, I got my boyfriend the wand from Willow at the outlet. Wow. $42. It has a stand. I'll take a picture and put it on our social. That was probably like the hit thing that I got him. But when we went to international, which I would say late Monday morning.
Vineland or international?
No, Vineland, sorry. So this is the one closer to Disney. There was a line to get in. So there was a big drop. All the cast members were like, our back room is full. We are trying to get the stuff out. Like, you could tell they were overwhelmed. They said there were some resellers that had already been in there four times getting stuff. So yeah, between waiting in line and doing the shopping, spent 2 hours. But me and my mom came out with three big bags of stuff. Like, we hit on that day. Got some really good things. My one big thing is there was a Stitch Spirit jersey that I saw at the Polynesian Sunday. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get this later in the week. Very next day at the outlet, it was at the outlet. I got
really
it. Yes. And then I still saw it in meant the parks. To be. I still saw in the parks during the week. So yeah.
Wow. That means that they just have an influx of merch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main
trying to move for new stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think the main people trying to get was lounge flies, which I don't care that much about. But yeah. Outlets were a hit for getting some Disney merch. And I even got some stuff for our giveaways on November. So
nice.
So yeah.
Nice, nice. All right. So that sounds like a fantastic, fantastic trip with another one coming up in July.
Yep. And Lisa, I am sorry that I didn't see you last week.
I was super busy with work, and then Thursday hit, and that was when this craziness happened. Yeah. So it was not meant to be, but I will see you in July when you come.
Yes, we will hit the parks at night because that's when I will be free. We can meet up with Jimmy. We don't have to meet up with Jimmy. Dealer's choice.
Fair enough. Melissa, when is your next trip?
Disneyland, May 10th.
I'm very excited for you and that trip.
Me too.
No, I've never been there. So it's 2 days. 2 days, three tickets. Get that. Wednesday, I have tickets for, I think I'm doing Disneyland. Thursday during the day, I'm doing California Adventure. And then Thursday night, I got Star Wars After Hours.
Nice.
Party ticket. Yeah.
Nice. And she's staying on property. So she's like,
where are you staying?
Taking full advantage.
Where am I staying, my travel agent?
I
Disneyland
think
Hotel?
Disneyland?
No, I think we put...
Or Paradise Pier.
I think we put you in Paradise.
No. No. I started at the Pixar place. That was what I thought I was going to do. But then because of the party, I didn't want to be over there. I'm at the end of the. Yes, I'm at Disneyland Hotel.
We stayed there. It's great. What a great hotel.
We talked about so many different options for you. It was like, wait, what do we end up putting in?
I looked at renting points. I looked at, like, we're all off property, on property. Yep.
I'm very, very, I think I'm more excited to hear about your trip in May than my upcoming trip in July, because you get to do Star Wars After Hours. Also, I just
Disneyland, which I think in my heart of hearts, I love Disney World. I'm a Disney World girl. But there is just something truly, truly awesome about walking in Walt's footsteps.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to. And it's very surreal because I keep thinking, oh, it's not a big deal. I know Disney World. I know where every bathroom is, every snack car, trash
different.
Can. And then I'm like, wait, I don't know Disneyland. I have no clue what I'm doing. I have no clue where I'm going. What do you mean that you can see the turnstiles from across from each other?
Yeah. I have one challenge for you.
Uh-oh.
And, take it for whatever it's worth. We brought Chloe there a couple years ago, and I challenged her to the same thing, and she came out with far more than I thought she would. But I'd like to know how many times you say, why don't they do this in Disney World? I want to know how many times you say that, because I think there were like 7 or 8 different things that Chloe was like, why don't they do this in Disney World?
Yeah. Well, you know what else I'm excited about for Melissa is, and I did the post a couple days ago, is she's going to be there also during Pixar Fest. So I'm excited to see what you get to experience with mm-hmm. what they're doing with Pixar Fest. Not just the food, but like the merch.
There's a parade.
Yeah, like
some food and stuff. Yeah.
You'll definitely probably say what Lisa just said. Why don't they do this at Disney World when you see the Pixar Fest stuff? Because I feel like you'll do that for that and Star Wars night.
And Chloe didn't see World of Color. Like when I saw World of Color, I was like, why don't they do this in Animal Kingdom?
I was like, and I'm going to miss World of Color. Why do I get
Rivers of Crap? And they have this.
Yeah, I'll miss it because I'll be back at Star Wars Land that night.
Yeah.
So I felt like that's why I'd have two half days, whatever, of Disneyland and just one half day of California Adventure. And trying to cram a lot of things into a short period of time. But, you know, when I planned it, I didn't know that there was going to be a party, but it ends up working out because I think I'll be able to get a lot of rides done during the party, depending on how much I want to spend in Star Wars party or, you know, how many things I want to get attractions done. So yeah, we'll see. I'm just going for it. It's going to be one trip and I'm sure I'll be back. So just going to experience what I can. And it'll be interesting because I'm traveling alone. I'm not traveling with any kiddo I've only done that once. Just me.
Oh, you really? Hold on. Let me.
I feel like she's going to be able to do more that now since she's going solo. So that way, when she does bring Jason and the kiddo back, she's going to know more.
Yeah, you'll be able to know more. I feel like it really sounded like a jerk there for a second. Be like, you're going to have a blast. those ball and chains attached to you.
It's going to be weird. If I want to sit down and eat, I can sit down and eat. If I want to stay out another hour, I can stay out another. For all the three ladies on the phone, like that's a little weird, right?
Yeah,
I don't really get that luxury.
Yep. To not be running on somebody else's schedule. Yes.
Right. Exactly. I'm so used to like, okay, we got to think of what attraction they want. Do we need a snack? Do we need a bathroom break? I'm like, I just have to check in with myself.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say it, 'cause like, You guys have kids and I don't have kids, but when I'm not coming for a Disney Nerds thing, I'm going to the parks with my mom. I got to do that with my mom. Okay. What does mom need to do? Does she need to rest? Do you need a bathroom break? Are you hungry? Yep. Can I go in your suitcase with you to Disneyland? I will not bother you. It will still be a solo trip for you. I'll do my solo thing.
Come right on out.
Yeah.
Well, I will be back in the parks next Tuesday. I've got a friend coming into town and she had a free day and she's the annual pass holder. And we decided to do something that I haven't done since pre-COVID.
Which is?
4 parks in one day.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Because you couldn't really.
Because I couldn't.
Yeah, you really couldn't.
So
you're gonna be a little busy. You gotta dust off the strategy.
Yeah, we've been mapping it out. So it's 4 parks in one day. Each of the parks we have to do one attraction, one food item, and one character picture.
Okay.
Oh.
So we've put some like strict guidelines on that in order to properly document it.
I feel like there's going to be wiggle room with the characters. Because say you're in Animal Kingdom and Kevin is walking around, that's a character.
Yes.
You're not standing in
line. I could find Bob from Dayton, Ohio. He might be a character too. Like, kid, this no.
Hey, I know some Bobs that are characters, man. You know? You find a funny cast member in the Emporium and that's a character meet. You know? I mean, come on now. No.
I've got a fun and exciting day next Tuesday. That'll end with got dinner reservations at Sebastian's that night over at Caribbean Beach, which is a big fave of mine. So
nice.
That'll be great.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking forward to catching up with all three of you again and we'll talk about our strategies for getting 4 parks done in one day. mastering Disneyland.
Yep.
And preparing for the July meetup. And with that, Jimmy, tell everybody how they can get a hold of us and tell us which shirt is the best.
Oh, wait, you did a list and I wasn't paying attention to the list.
So everyone, please vote on your favorite shirt of De-Easterfy, Snackage, and America Area. Jimmy, tell everyone how they can reach us.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
For Morgan, for Lisa, this is Melissa, and we're the Disney Nerds. TTFM, ta-ta for now.
Have a magical night, Hakuna Matata.
So long, everybody.
Join our jamboree. There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
I'd like to note that I didn't butcher the English language tonight.
Are you sure we're not done yet? We haven't stopped recording.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity.
No, I'm gonna abstain. I'm good.
She's going to stop talking now.
Okay. So what do I do now? Do I just say, how do I end this?
You would say for Morgan and Lisa, this is Melissa. And do and your out. And then
we're the Disney nerds.
We're the Disney nerds. Yeah. And say your goodnight.
Yeah.
Okay. For Morgan, for Lisa, this is Melissa. And we're the Disney nerds. Nerds.
Shirt number four.
Oh, okay, hold on. Don't look at me, Morgan.
Disney nids?
Nids.
What is a Disney nid?
When you don't graduate to nerd level, you're still a nid.
Nid. You're a nid until you graduate. My kids must be Disney nids.
Yeah, they haven't made nerd level yet. They're still nids.
Nids.
They're not walking around saying, why don't they do this in Disney World?
That's right. That's right. Nids.